Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is Tony from the Red Beard Podcast. Welcome to episode 5. I got my boy Cooley here. What's up, dude?
Hey.
And I got Jay here again. What's up, buddy?
Hey, thanks for having me back, man. I really appreciate it.
This is awesome.
This is great.
I had fun last one. This is serious.
It is, man. S-I-R-I-U-S.
Serious.
Hey. Hey. Yo. Check out the documentary, Stephen Greer. It's good.
Absolutely. And look into the serious stars, A and B, that the Dogon tribe knew about.
Definitely. Check that out on episode 1 where we talked about it. Now, enough self-promoting ourselves. Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
We're going to do something actually a little bit different this episode, and I'd like you to actually take the reins and, you know, take us off this episode.
Yeah, I don't even know. I had just mentioned an idea about just stories and...
yeah, we're going to switch it up.
Take me off.
Take me off tonight. No, well, just like talking about like how...
He was awful last time I saw him at a concert. Love the guy to death. Eddie
Money's
great, but he looked pretty rough.
Really?
Yeah, I'll show you some pictures.
I'm
later.
Disappointed.
Yeah, me too.
What, like what? He couldn't perform, or like what was the deal?
Well, he,
and I'm not talking ED or anything.
That's what it sounded like. I'm
couldn't
sorry.
Perform. Just, well, like the whole. I'll just say this, and then we'll get "Take Me Home Tonight."
Yeah.
The entire song that he did, he basically didn't sing any of it. Like everybody else had to fill in because he was losing his breath.
Oh, no.
Anyway, okay, so go ahead.
So like, maybe that's like. All right, take me home tonight, and then we got to introduce him to my friend Blue Diamond Phillips, because.
Okay, let's go.
Anyway, yeah. Anyway,
all right.
So, you know, just talking about like, just humans' need for stories from like, there's this mythology, there's folklore, and there's things like that, and it just seems like humans, for one reason or another, through civilizations, we've always gravitated to stories in our way to explain things, right? Whether it's to explain the supernatural, or the human comes up with this, you know, ideology based on, you know, miracles and mythos or whatever, it just it fascinates me, you know, how it started with, you know, as far as we can know, is like, you know, oral traditions, and then even with, you know, first written, you know, through the Sumerians, and like even going back to like stories like Gilgamesh, where you take a story like Gilgamesh and then you read about it, and then there are parallels between that story and then what we know in, you know, modern day society through, you know, Judeo-Christian belief systems as like what is the Bible, and these stories are so similar. But yet Gilgamesh was written 3,000 years before supposedly this, you know, the Torah or the Bible were written. So there's this thing, this underlying current of stories being passed on through antiquity, getting a twist. And I find it fascinating because there's a lot of people who, I'm not sure if you guys are huge movie buffs.
Right.
Thinking about like how there are less and less original movies now, right? There's either people making movies about, I mean, we're huge fans. Yes, please make a movie about all my favorite comic books. Sign me up. I'm all about it. But there's this undercurrent of things that like is popular in culture where there's these movies that are literally just, oh, we're going to do a reboot of that other movie that came out then. And it just gets boring. It gets stale, right? And,
yeah.
And you question, well, why am I bored with it? Why do I have this need for like a new story or something else? Or why is this other story like just being retold over and over again, but it changes every single time you retell the story? And I guess that's my point. I'm sorry to go on a tangent here. Very ADD.
But it makes sense. Because like a lot of like stories that, you know, that we do tell are, or like you could have somebody tell like last episode we talked about Travis Walton, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
How many times have people actually heard that story, but they keep telling it over and over and over again?
Sure.
You know, to try to make sense of it.
Right.
You know, and I feel like there's a lot of stories that are retold because we're looking for answers.
Right.
You know, we're trying to explain something. Like how many times are we going to hear about Roswell? And Cooley, you and I kind of were talking about this last week, and I thought it was a really interesting point is that, you know, you have a very skeptical stance on a lot of things, right? Like you look for specific evidence. You have to see things to believe them. You have to see it with your own eyes. You need like facts, which I think makes a lot of sense.
Fact.
And then you started to explain to us. You started explaining to me and Jay last week after we had kind of stopped recording why, you know, you actually have that stance on things. And I was wondering if you'd be willing to share that.
Yeah, like basically, man, like everything that people come up with, all of these like little beliefs that people have and all that, like it just seems to me that it's just a way for them to try to explain away what they don't understand. And it all goes back to the beginnings, and you mentioned the Bible and such, and I was brought up a Catholic, and I believed in, you know, the Catholic religion all of my life. And now that I'm older, and now that I have like a broader view of things, and I have an education, and you know, I'm very technical, and I think scientifically. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in the religion anymore. I don't believe in that that foundation of the. I believe in the I believe in the morals.
Right.
Right. I believe, like, you know, hey, you got to do what's right, and, you know, like, you know, knowing right from wrong, and, you know, it's just common sense to me. But yeah, like, I mean, I think the Bible has great stories, but I don't believe that any of them are true. And it's like finding out that Santa Claus is fake.
Right.
Right. And, you know, when you believe in Santa Claus up until a very, like, until whatever age you believe in Santa Claus, and then you find out he's fake, it's like, it's devastating. Yeah. And then it makes you question everything. And that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I mean, like, you know, you believe in God and Jesus and the Holy Trinity and, you know, like the Garden of Eden and the snake and the fucking, you know, she ate the apple and fuck her, 'cause she's a sinner, and she turns Adam into a sinner, and she was made from a rib and all that happy horse shit. You believe all that shit. And then you find out, like, well, you figure out that, you know, hey, none of that really makes much fucking sense. Right. Right. And so like everything that people like come up with, Bigfoot, fucking werewolves, and fucking Dracula and aliens and spacecraft and all that shit, I believe that there are things out there, but I don't believe that they give a shit about us. Right. I don't believe that they're flying around and fucking coming over here and sticking things up our butts and, you know,
I like, always found that probing thing interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why it went as far as it did. Like, you somebody know? had an abduction case or memory where they got probed for a second. And that just, like, dude, they took the reins with that.
Not only do I think it's far-fetched, but it's I think it's arrogant of us to think that we matter that much, that something from another, like, part of the galaxy or another part of the universe that has enough intelligence to build a spacecraft that can traverse the universe is saying, hey, let me go to Earth and poke around inside one of these motherfuckers. Like, I just don't see, how that's a reality.
What about us who are at higher intelligence, but like we also like will study like insects and we'll study mice and things like that? Like, yes, we're smart and we can build flying cars and do all this stuff, but why do we actually still study them?
No, we're intelligent. We're not smart. We're a bunch of fucking imbeciles. Believe that.
Believe that.
I'm serious.
Bunch of stoned like this apes.
This planet is full of imbeciles. We are smart, but we're also destructive.
Yes,
yeah, we are. Yeah.
And sure, maybe there's another race of things out there that are also destructive or whatever, but like, for us to understand something, we have to take it apart. Anything that's intelligent enough to build something that can traverse the universe, I'm thinking they got to be smarter than that.
That's a great point. And if I may interject, I apologize. I think that's a great point because you're right. There's a part of us that in order to figure something out, we take it apart, right?
Right. Right.
So hypothetically, what if that's what these abductions are about? That's a lot of theories about like these abductions. They're trying to figure it out. Or there's also other theories that they were here before. Like you're saying, like, I believe that there's something else out there, right? Mm-hmm. Why the heck would they give a crap about us? So what if, you know, ancient astronaut theorists think that in the remote past, that there were extraterrestrial beings that had come to Earth, and that some of these stories that we've learned about, even through, you know, ancient, you know, Hindu texts, through the Vedic texts, and through like other antiquity, they had these misinterpretations of what they thought they saw and experienced. And so they didn't know what a spaceship was. They didn't know what any of that stuff was because they had nothing to compare it to. There was no gauge. So they would describe it as what they know. Anthropomorphic, like dragons or snakes or this, that, the other. Fire-breathing dragons. And then when you go through antiquity and you learn about these stories and you read about these stories and then you think about these, whether it's religious iconography and like paintings and drawings and things like that where they depict certain things that may have been happening based on these stories, whether it's what look like spacecraft in, whether it's in a painting from the 1400s, right, to even if you look to like a cave drawing and in what looks like it could be what some people would describe as like not a human, but, you know, a hominid, very like, you know, very like, you know, almost human-like, but like looks a little bit different from antiquity. And it just, for me, that it's very fascinating. And then to learn now in this modern age that the Sumerians were talking about who they called the Anunnaki, that described themselves to have come from the heavens. And then I think about in the Americas, both North and South America, you have two different continents that describe beings coming from outer space, right? And so our native indigenous cultures talking about, again, from South American and North American, the indigenous people of the land having stories about people who came from the heavens and the stars to teach them and show them these things, and that they honor them and all that they do. I find that fascinating. I think that there's something there and there's something more to it. And then, of course, you know, to go back to your point, I know I'm jumping around, I feel bad, talking about, like, you know, Catholicism. And Catholicism in and of itself, you know, based on a number of things. That's,
I know exactly where you're going with this too, with Catholicism.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people, when I was growing up, you know, again, you know, especially in our area, Catholicism is very, it's prevalent in our area, right? So the things you don't learn right off the bat was this figurehead named Jesus from what now people know was from Palestine and was Jewish in his teachings and was doing these things and so on and so forth, what a lot of other theories involved. But Catholicism, what happened was the Roman Empire started seeing this new rise in belief system. Now, they had their pantheon. They had their gods and goddesses and, you know, they're very polytheistic. So they had a lot of figureheads and they believed in all these different things. And they were also taking a lot of pagan beliefs too, which was very earth-based. So there was this like...
It's like emerging.
Yeah, it really was. It coalesced a lot of different belief systems. So...
Which is funny because, like, when you talk about, like there's a lot of weird things going on with Easter, right? Like,
bingo.
So, okay, Jesus dies, rises from the dead, but then we're out on the lawn doing Easter egg hunts. And, you know, like, that's a pagan thing in itself, but somehow it's connected to Catholicism, which doesn't seem to make much sense, right?
Right.
And then also... doesn't matter what religion you are, everybody celebrates Halloween. And what belief system is Halloween? You know, like, that's also a pagan, like, tradition, you know? So it's sure. Like, we, you know, celebrate these different things, not necessarily understanding, like, where they actually come from and, like, and the stories that they actually originate from and, like, all that different stuff. It's very interesting, like, the merging of these ideas.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It you know, it's a convergence of... You know, taking the Roman Empire at that time, Constantine's mother was starting to be, she was like an early adopter of this Christian belief, right? So you take what was happening in Rome and their entire empire, and he realized like, oh, I don't want to lose the people. You know, and I'm paraphrasing here too with a lot of the resources that are out there that, you know, I would definitely encourage people to check out. So what he did was he adopted a lot of these now Christian, quote unquote, Christian belief systems based on what a lot of these early Christian believers didn't consider themselves Christians. They were just an offshoot of Judaism. because they only knew those Judaic teachings and like Mosaic laws and things like that, Levitical laws. And so this figurehead decided to change these things. And then all of a sudden there's this offshoot that became known as Christianity. Then you have Rome now, you know, hundreds of years later, and saying, okay, well, we're going to do this. I'm going to take some of these things, but we're going to morph it with what our things are. And a lot of these pagan rituals and a lot of these dates that all really focus around equinoxes. And it's all about like the cosmos. It's all about the seasons, and it's all about what's happening because, you know, early antiquity, like we're talking about people who didn't have cell phones. They didn't have computers. So they were more in tune with nature. And then you go back. That's,
well, not to cut you off, but, yeah, like, no, but like something I kind of want to bring up before we kind of like forget, before I forget is like, I feel like they look to like the seasons and like the skies for
absolutely
answers.
Absolutely.
And we talk about the cosmos. And one of the things that always kind of makes, I find very interesting is as far as like, you know, these blending of ideas where like, oh, well, this means this and this pagan idea we're going to more, you know, merge with Christianity. But it's like all of these different things are told in stories, which we've kind of been referencing the whole time.
Sure.
But another form of telling stories was artists would actually do like paintings.
Yes.
To kind of represent what was going on. And one of the things that always blew my mind was this specific painting by Jason Martel. And I found this was crazy. It was actually not Jason Martel. Sorry,
I was gonna say, he's the one who talks about
it. Yes, yeah, but in the 15th century, it was by Domenico. I don't even know how to pronounce his last name, but Ghirlandaio. It's totally saying that wrong. I'm butchering it.
Oh, is that the one with the Virgin Mary,
the Madonna, and Saint Giovannino? So if you look right here,
oh wow,
this is a painting that was done in the 15th century, right? And basically what it is it was a painting of Mary, but then in the sky, there is a craft which looks like a UFO. And when you zoom in on it, it looks like something that we would actually reference today, which is what we would describe to be a UFO with lights and so forth.
Right.
And then in the painting, you also have a man and what looks like his dog looking up at the craft.
Right. With
this, was
for people who are listening, you know, if you haven't seen it, and we're looking at it again right now, Tony just pulled it up, but like there's clearly there's an image of what looks like a human figure with their hand up to their head as if you're covering your eyes,
like from the sun to block
right,
the sun to
so
look
you can
up
get
to
a better
something
look at what it is. And very subtle in the background, almost as if you're like trying to like encode some sort of message. Very subversive, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's like what looks to be like a UFO. And like, this is just... this
looks like a Purple Heart to me.
This is a famous... I mean, this is like a famous...
Got wounded in battle.
Yeah, and was in this painted in the sky. So I think... I mean, I think this is very... This is always kind of just blew my mind that this was done in the 15th century. So, and I think the interesting thing is that, you know, we talk about stories and UFOs and, and all this stuff and how they all connect, but it's like here you have the Madonna, right? Which is a very religious figure.
Absolutely.
And then you have this idea of a UFO or a craft, which we don't know what it is. Right. Somebody obviously on the ground level referencing it and noticing it.
Right.
Right. She's unaware of it. I mean, and then you zoom in on it and it's got these rays of light coming out of it. You know what I mean? Which look like it's a craft of some sort. The other thing too is like back in another religion story, Catholicism, right? There was when they saw, Mary, right? I forget exactly where that
Fatima
was. Thank you, Fatima, right? They saw Mary appear, right? Mm-hmm. And before this happened, there was the miracle of the spinning sun,
right?
Right. I mean, the spinning sun, theory was that a UFO in the sky that was doing some kind of crazy loop and then took off, and we were like, we don't know what that is, so that's the sun, you know? Or there's the eclipse. They didn't know what the hell the eclipse was back then, you know? So all of these things, like, oh, the story of the miracle
is
of the spinning
Mary
sun.
Is Mary unaware of the UFO, or did she come from the UFO?
Possibly. Which brings up the other story.
There's another painting
as well
too.
But that brings
beam
up
beam me down, Jesus.
But that the virgin
brings
birth
up, Thank you. The Immaculate Conception. How is that possible? Everything.
It's not.
Everything it's that not. Science He's a tells hybrid. Us today right. is everything that science tells us today tells us that is not possible. Yet we believe that that actually happened.
No, you believe that it actually happened. I believe it's not possible.
I'm saying we, as most people that go to church, believe that happened.
So
I say that he's a hybrid.
She's a hybrid?
He's an alien hybrid.
Oh, honestly, there are a lot of theories about this. Now,
she's basically like that Rachel chick.
Rachel Ray?
No, what's her name?
I don't know.
Isn't it Rachel something?
What are you talking about? The Fifth Element?
No, the woman that you had me listen about, like that.
Oh yeah, I don't remember her name. So, not to cut you off, but there's a theory, yes, that she was hybrid, or part UFO, which gave birth to Jesus. Who, that is why Jesus had these abilities to create miracles and heal right. people.
Scripture,
and so forth.
Scripture dictates she was the Annunciation.
Dude, we're going off on a limb here. This is awesome.
Great. The Annunciation came from.
And Cooley's just like, cool.
But all right, so what? But no, people have an open mind.
But hey, but the stuff that the reasons why he does not believe
are valid
in these things are because they're crazy.
Yeah, they are.
They're crazy.
I was.
But we believe them. There's something. How would it possibly be possible? How?
I align with Cooley so much about the finding out about Santa Claus devastated me. Yeah, literally, like so much so that in even into my 30s. My mom still apologizes, and I'm like, Mom, it's okay. Because she realized, like, as a kid...
You screwed
like,
with your psyche.
I was so hurt, emotionally scarred. I'll be the first one to admit it. Yeah, you know, like, and it hurt me.
Is that why you grew your beard out?
No comment. I will be Santa Claus someday, and I will bring this into fruition. No. So, getting back on track, like, the thing too is, like, talking about any kind of like, whether it's Gilgamesh, whether it's the Torah.
What is Gilgamesh? I don't know what that means.
So Gilgamesh is a story.
Just quickly. I don't want to go into it, but yeah.
No problem. So like ancient Sumerian culture had different stories that were uncovered on, you know, in Iran and Iraq on tablets that were written in cuneiform, right? Okay. So one of the stories that was written in one of the tablets found has been titled Gilgamesh. And
okay.
It's a whole story. It's a saga.
Yeah.
And in that story, they talk about a great flood that wiped people out.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
3,000 some odd years before this Torah, which is the precursor to the Bible. That's Judaism's, you know, that's what their sacred text is, their scrolls.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, that's what Christians or Catholics know as, quote unquote, Old Testament is the Torah. We, you know, as a Bible, it's Old Testament, New Testament, right? So... Old Testament is basically the Torah, and then New Testament are the Gospels, according to X, Y,
John,
and Z,
Luke,
John,
Paul,
or Matthew,
yeah.
right,
yeah.
correct. So, speaking about that is, to Cooley's point, like, there's no way that these things happened. We talk about Immaculate Conception, we talk about these things, and we're talking about, like, so, what that, in a lot of esoteric circles, that is allegory. It's allegorical teaching through a series of stories that conjure images in one's mind so that there are lessons to be learned for the individual based on what these stories are for morals and ethics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense.
So rather than being taken literally verbatim that...
Their teachings, yeah. For
right.
Yeah.
So going back to... Humans love stories. We love mythology, right? So growing up, we learned about mythology. We learned about stories about, you know, Zeus and things like that. And, you know, the Iliad is a great example. The Odyssey. There are lessons in stories. Every time there's a story. A lesson in there, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole point. So allegorically... In these texts, there are people who have changed things through oral tradition once they finally started writing things.
Mm-hmm.
All the while, the main purpose is to pass on knowledge. Mm-hmm. Ancient civilizations, indigenous people, talked about it. Whether we take the indigenous tribes of North America, South America, the Aboriginal And Aboriginal, technically, I feel, you know, we grew up with that term, but like I'm learning now that Aboriginal isn't even an appropriate term to use, but the indigenous folks of Australia mm-hmm. as well. Like there are people from different continents that have these stories within their own communities, within their own tribes, that they told to each other through oral tradition before writing. And then while writing, you know, started, they would write these things down. And that's how they taught the next generation and the next generation.
So that's how, like, you know, you get things like religion, and that's how you're brought up to learn, like, your Ten Commandments and your values and things like that, you know? But it's like, we always are looking for, like, okay, well, you got Moses who goes up to the top with the tablets, and, like, there's the burning bush, and, like, mm-hmm. who gave him these tablets? And, like, if people saw, like, a burning bush, like, what was that? Like, mm-hmm. we always have to have, like, an answer for it. And I feel like...
it was a burning fucking bush. Like, I mean, like that, like, bushes are, like, come on, man. You telling me a bush can't burn?
No, I'm not saying it can't, but I mean, like...
just saying, like, he probably... I'm not saying they probably saw a burning bush, and that was that. Like I'm just saying. That, man. I'm just saying, man, like... like, I know this podcast isn't about religion, man.
No.
But like things like the Ten Commandments you mentioned, and it's just like, bro, like, isn't it fucking obvious that it was just like a dude that was like, hey, you know, we shouldn't kill each other, so, you know, thou shalt not kill. Hey, my kid is always like mouthing off, you know, honor thy mother and father so that days may be long.
Yo, I like how, you know, hold on. I like how the dude is always like, yo, my kid's always mouthing off, but then he writes it down. He's like, thou shalt honor thy mother. He's right, yo. He's like mad articulate.
No, he's trying to be though. He's trying to come off as a supreme being. You know?
They will not understand, yo. You know, I will write thou.
Exactly. Like, I'm a writer. I know how to change my voice when I need to.
That's a great point.
You know, and I'm just saying, like, it really comes, I think it just comes down to, like, somebody trying to give people moral guidance mm-hmm. and giving them something to aspire to, which is great. But at the same time, like, I mean, it was pretty shitty to make people like to try and trick people into believing that this was like some all like, I mean, like, this isn't the first religion, though.
No. See, here's the but behind all this, right? Behind all this, I have this idea that, yeah, Jay, you said earlier, very early on, you know, maybe there was a chance that these beings were here before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, are coming back for whatever reason. And I've kind of been like, yeah, you know, you want to say it's like an ideology, which you kind of had mentioned the, like, two episodes ago. Like, yeah, it could be, right? That, like, it might, you kind of seems like that when you say, oh, they're coming back to kind of like watch us and see like what we're doing and how we're evolving. But I mean, like, I don't feel like that's out of the realm of possibility. And why does it seem so consistent? This isn't something that's been happening for like a couple years. It's right. Like, it's, dude, you're seeing paintings in the 15th century. There's things that, lights in the sky that people reference, and things, fire in the sky that things people described saw. And
literally tens of thousands of years ago.
Things that literally, if you were to try to describe it without a video today, it would sound almost exactly the same. Like, oh, it's lights in the sky, it's fire, it's smoke and what, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It just gods in the sky. Like, this shit has been referenced for hundreds of thousands of years, and it's true. In paintings, and we still see it in the sky today. And that's what I don't understand about people.
When you say we,
no, I'm saying that, look, you maybe haven't seen it.
I haven't seen shit.
No, and not everybody does, man. That's why it's called a UFO sighting. Like, we don't, they're not just flying around and shit out there, because we probably would have actually, you know, had a lot more, like, I mean, we've got like naval fucking and Air Force pilots coming forward saying they've chased these things
right.
in the sky, dude, and they've literally had them on lock. They can't catch up with them. They're way too freaking fast. They don't move like any aircraft they've ever seen before, and they're just disappearing. I mean, like, these people are educated people. You have to have like perfect 20/20 vision to be in the Air Force. You can't be colorblind. You've got to pass every freaking mathematical test possible to
Iman Chu.
But I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying, like, it's not just one person that has been seeing these things. Like, thousands of hundreds of thousands of people see UFOs in the sky, and still, even with video footage, we pretend that they don't exist. That drives me nuts. They're not fake. They're there. And if you don't know what it is, that's fine. Mm. But you can't say it's not real. You just can't fucking say it's not real. If you don't know what it is,
it's unexplained. And
you can't explain it, I'm with you. I get that. But that doesn't mean it's not happening and it's not real.
Oh, the passion. Oh.
Just saying. I'm sick of people seeing shit and saying that it didn't see it and it's not real. You just saw it. You don't know what it is, fine, but it's not, doesn't mean it's fake.
Right. And I think too, like, you know, to, you know, go back a little bit to, you know, talking about stories and talking about like the allegory in these tales, you know, we think about these artists that were commissioned by, you know, the strongest entity, you know, during time about, you know, during like the medieval ages, you know, we think about like the Catholic Church was basically like, you know, they were like what we could consider as Americans, like the government. They controlled things, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously I can go into so many different tangents here, but my point here is that they commissioned different artists, whether it was like Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, and so on and so forth, to do these paintings in their, you know, whether it's chapels or just separate paintings to be hung or whatever. And these groups of artists that were part of like, you know, how we could almost relate it to in modern times would be like those people who kind of were like, they don't kind of like, they walk to the beat of their own drum, right? Yeah, they're kind of like part of their own like circle, and like they believe what they believe. And so like, eh, all right, cool. Yeah, you commissioned me. I need the money. Yo, daddy's going to eat.
But I'm going to paint what I want.
But I'm going to paint what I want. Oh, you want this? All right, cool. But I'm privy to this underground knowledge of like these things that have happened, and I'm gonna hide that stuff. Like Michelangelo, you know, people say like, oh, hey, you know, why did he paint what looks like the Most High touching Adam in this brain looking shape touching Adam? So if you look at the paint, if you pull it up and you look at the painting of like what supposedly the Most High.
About the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Of, you know, what some people describe as God, touching Adam's finger, the shape around him looks like the brain, the human brain, or at least, you know, a sectional of it, right? And so there's a lot of people who talk about that. But there's also, like, other things in there, like whether it was, like, certain stars and constellations and things like that that, like, were also hidden in... So like if you see the big, if you zoom out, like I know you're pulling it up now, for people who have never seen the painting in the Sistine Chapel, it looks as though, and it appears as though, the figure that's supposed to be the creator of everything, you know, and in Judeo-Christian belief as what they call the Godhead or deity, is this figure that's in a shape that strongly resembles the human brain
and the brain stem
and the brain stem, and reaching out and touching and igniting what is supposed to be Adam. And so a lot of people in a lot of esoteric circles believe that Michelangelo was hiding, or, you know, being subversive in what he was painting in a lot of these images in the Sistine Chapel, because he didn't necessarily agree with what they were saying per se. Yeah, gladly take the money. He's a starving artist, like we all are. Even 2019, we're still starving artists. But artists are always trying to raise the bar. They're always trying to push that envelope. They're always trying to enlighten people. Yes, I'm biased because I'm an artist, because I believe in there's something that there's a creative spark in all of us, right? And I think that right there is a testament to, you know, when we talk about paintings, like when you brought up the Madonna and having this, like, you know, image in the background that could possibly be, you know, a UFO. Mm-hmm. Here are these commissioned paintings in like some of the most iconic buildings that were commissioned by the Catholic Church. And here are these hidden images. And there's also like constellations. There's also, that's a pretty good meme. There's also like these other things that are like hidden in there. And so I think it's just important for people to like go back in antiquity and look at, you know, these hidden images, and why are they hidden? My opinion, again, is that there's this esoteric knowledge and understanding by a few that try to at least tuck it in there in the mainstream, even to this day, just to kind of sprinkle it in there to say, hey, there's more than meets the eye. There's more to this, and it's on the individual to look, especially within. And that's what a lot of these, you know, like if you go back to even to through antiquity and you look at like some of these early quote unquote what we know as Christian, these Gnostic teachings, a lot of it parallels a lot of like Buddhist, you know, thoughts and teachings, and the answers are within. And so to go to the extraterrestrial part of it, people supposedly saw these beings that looked like, you know, we call them angels, and there was the Annunciation, to go back to that painting, that we call, you know, Gabriel, the angel. What if Gabriel, hypothetically, was an extraterrestrial being who was, you know, humanoid in every aspect that came down and said, hey, cool, this is what's going to happen. Somehow, this theories that impregnated this individual, and like, you're going to carry this being, right? Mm. And so it's part alien. Because, you know, Akhenaten, going back to like ancient Egypt, Akhenaten was the very first pharaoh that said, hey, y'all believed in this polytheistic belief system. And for those who might not understand, polytheism is a belief in multiple gods. Akhenaten said, hey, there is, I believe in this thing, which we call monotheism. It's this one deity. And so it's described as a sun disk. Mm-hmm. And so now you go back, and like, I would encourage people to look into like sun cults, and mm-hmm. like go back and even look into the cult of Mithra. There's a lot of parallels between like Mithra and these sun cults, and like, you know, Akhenaten in ancient Egypt. And you'll see that there are far more parallels in these belief systems than we're raised or we're taught. And it's fascinating to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of those, all of those theories really just make you think, because, you know, there's so many parallels and there's so many stories that I've seen to kind of like just replicate over and over the years. Mm-hmm. And like, they all seem to have too many similarities where we're all trying to take things from other things and to figure things out. And I think that we sometimes lose ourselves, you know, in these, yeah. in these theories start to blend together. I mean, and I think
all these
that,
amalgamations yeah. really start. Yeah.
And I think that what we do as humans is we create stories, you know, and
exactly.
to explain things. And I think this is exactly what we've been kind of talking about. And
I mean, I found some more recent piece of artwork that really makes me wonder, really brings, I mean, like,
but you're right.
I'm just like, it depicts a man holding a car over his head.
Superman, yeah.
Well, regardless of what you want to call him, right? it's a man, and he's holding a car over his head, and it shows some people underneath him scrambling, and one guy's like holding his head in disbelief. I can't believe he's holding a car over his head. So it just makes me wonder. I mean, like, what inspired this? Like, maybe somebody saw somebody do this, mm-hmm. and do you see where I'm going with this?
I see where you're going with it.
No, but you, I love you bring, how he literally tried to sound up like Lee's.
But you bring up a very valid point, right?
I just say it's a painting. But it's a painting. It's not real. It's not real. I'm sorry.
All right, I think that's a good way to end it. We're gonna pick it up.
I would say, how many people were empowered by Superman and superheroes, right?
Yeah, it was very inspirational. I'm not saying that it wasn't,
no, but
bro.
Think about that and parallel that, right? And so that these stories that people have told
yes.
through antiquity were meant to inspire mm-hmm. and get people to believe something greater of themselves.
Right. There you go. That's
perfect.
Oh man, that was a good way to end it. Well, with that being said, you know, this episode was kind of a little different, but you know, hey, we're talking about stories and how they came about and different belief systems and how the whole UFO culture has kind of found a way to blend its way in there.
Mm-hmm.
So hey, with that being said, we will catch you guys in 2 weeks where we will discuss our next topic, which you will find
French
out.
French Revolution, pros and cons?
Possibly. No. and were the UFOs involved? No, I don't know. That's nice. All right. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Later. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Redbeard Podcast, which is part of the Nerd Ruckus Network. Please take a moment and like our Facebook page and share your thoughts on the episode, as well as what you would like to hear us discuss. Also, give us a follow on Redbeard Podcast and Nerd Ruckus on Instagram and Twitter. And check out nerdruckus.com for all of our entertainment channels.